Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're looking at crossover day in Pier this Friday and hoping to catch up with State Senator Lance Russell here in a little bit. But in the meantime, we're talking about some bills that made it to the other side and some that didn't make it to the other side. SDPB's Jackie Hendry is our education reporter. She's here with me in the studios in Vermilion. Hey, Jackie, how are you?
Doing fine, Lori. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is an interesting one because sometimes just because something doesn't make it to the next level doesn't mean it's not worth talking about it for a variety of reasons, and this is one of them.
Right, that's for sure. And oftentimes we're talking about bills, proposed new statutes, things like this, and this is actually a House concurrent resolution that stemmed from a classroom project at USD, the University of South Dakota. And so it didn't quite make it through the Senate last week or so, but it's continuing a conversation.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it got tabled. But the conversation itself is interesting, as is the process of we've had some high school students who have brought legislation in front of Pier that didn't get anywhere, and now some college students. So how does this start, and what is the idea behind House Resolution 1001?
Well, this started from an intro to American government class for political science majors at the University of South Dakota. And we have two undergraduate students, Christina Vogel, who is a freshman, and Sarah Napsey, who is a sophomore. And pretty much their project is find some sort of community service project, basically, to get involved in the civic process. They're able to choose whatever they want to do. And these two students discovered the concept of rural brain drain. And that's the idea that college students are leaving their rural communities, going elsewhere, tend to go to more urban areas. And so the education level in these rural communities is lowering, and particularly in South Dakota was what they were looking at. The inspiration for this project stemmed in large part from a documentary called If You Build It, They Will Come.
And that comes from the phrase, if you build it, they will come. And that really focused on kids. And we wanted to air a movie, but then we thought no one's going to come.
We saw it as a bigger issue than just airing a movie. So we wanted to do something more impactful.
So what they ended up doing was they went through the entire process of getting IRB approval, which, let me tell you, as a master's student right now, that is no small feat to get IRB approval.
What?
Institutional Review Board. So basically they work with when you're talking with human subjects, because they wanted to do a survey of students at the University of South Dakota to kind of ascertain where we were standing here as in regards to rural brain drain. So they surveyed 125 undergraduate students. 66% of those students said they were not planning on staying in South Dakota after they graduated. And the top two reasons for that were just plain wanting to see more of the world and a lack of job opportunities.
Sure.
So once they discovered that, their professor recommended that they work with a legislator. They began working with Representative Rasmussen here for Clay County. And once they got through the class project, Representative Rasmussen says that the students wanted to take it a step further.
Well, when they were finished, they had their information, and we were sitting at the table, and then they pushed their information over to my side of the table and said, now we would like you to go write a bill for us. And the information wasn't something that we could put in statute. However, I told them that this would be great material for a resolution.
So resolution, basically a statement from the legislature acknowledging a particular state of affairs, whatever's in the resolution. So the students ended up actually visiting with the Legislative Research Council, drawing up this language that Representative Rasmussen then took into committee. The students Skyped into committee to defend their work. And the resolution basically calls on the state of South Dakota to acknowledge a situation of brain drain and calling on the Governor's Office of Economic Development to work on basically social media campaigns to recruit folks in the age range of, I believe it's 30 to 49 years of age, to recruit those people to come back to South Dakota. And this is based on some research that they found in Minnesota from a Dr. Ben Winchester.
Interesting. All right. So they go through this entire process, and this is not an academic exercise at this point. It began like that, but now they're thinking there's something that we can actually do about this. What kind of questions do they get when they get to Pier? What sort of support or opposition do they face?
Well, they were able to go through committees fairly easily, and the resolution passed through the House as well, where they hit a lot of not necessarily backlash, but opposition or questioning was in the Senate. And some ideas behind that were, you know, if we're targeting 30 to 49-year-olds, that doesn't solve the problem of recent college graduates leaving rural communities. And also the idea that much of the Board of Regents data that we see says that a relatively high percent of recent college graduates from Board of Regents institutions stay in South Dakota. And at first glance, that's true. From the fiscal year, I believe it's 2013, over 60% of recent college graduates are staying in South Dakota, something like 64%. But even just in the span of 2 years, right. So 64% in 2013, by 2015, only about 58% of graduates are staying in South Dakota. So that number is going down. Okay. And also that data only looks at placement within a year after graduation. It doesn't quite look at the longevity.
Ah, so they could stay here right away because that's an easy thing to do. And then a year later, 6 months later, they could be out the door to a different state.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So the questions in the Senate were, you know, concerns about whether or not this is actually a problem?
Right. And also some ideas that, you know, we're already doing something about this. Sure. No specific examples were given on the floor. But once it was defeated in the Senate, I reached out to the Governor's Office of Economic Development to ask them what they might already be doing. And because they were the organization mentioned in the resolution, they ultimately directed me to Department of Labor and Department of Education. They thought that might be a better place for me to look. Pretty much the answers I got with the Department of Labor is they are looking to recruit some people who might have roots in South Dakota to come back. And some of their efforts they've had in the last couple of years, about 4,000 people move back to South Dakota based on that recruitment effort. Those people land right in that age range that the students identified through the other research, which was about the age of 36.
Right. Which is what they were kind of criticized for during the hearings, of whether that age range, that what 30 to 49 age range, is the right target area. And some
right.
of the statistics say yes it is,
because mm-hmm.
that's when you're going to come back.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm tracking.
And then Department of Labor directed me to take a little bit more of a local perspective, so I did get a chance to chat with Stacy Asep, who is part of workforce development up in Brookings, South Dakota, another college town with SDSU. She told me that oftentimes when she talks to students at SDSU, she asks them, are you planning on staying in South Dakota or Brookings? And those who say they're not planning on staying tend to cite things like weather or, again, wanting to see more of the world.
So those things are issues that we can't necessarily change. But what we can do is make a good impression on them while they're here, so that when they leave, they remember that our communities are safe and it is a great place to raise a family. Those kinds of messages that we want to make sure that when they do leave, that they have that positive perception of our communities.
So, again, looking at those age ranges farther out, and I also spoke with Nate Welch, who is executive director of the Vermilion Area Chamber Development, connected to USD. He was aware of the project that these students were working on. And he says that the majority of recent college graduates this generation, they're more so deciding where they want to live first and then looking for the jobs. So by the time they are more established in that 30 to 45-year-old age range, then they're more interested in moving to those rural communities because they might be more established professionally or wanting to start a family and remembering how nice it was in those smaller communities, that it's safe, that it's a good place to raise a family.
Interesting. So I want to get back to this idea of weather.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, is the idea that truthfully, if there were great jobs for you and a great community that you loved, that you really would walk away from it because it gets cold? I mean, are they just going to where they're palm trees, pretty much? Or
Maybe. It depends on the individual. But it sounds like a lot of the reasons for leaving aren't necessarily things that economic development can control.
Right. All right. So where are you from?
Me, personally?
Yes, yes.
I'm from...
A case study on Jackie Henry, USD graduate.
Right. Well, I am from Roscoe, Illinois, originally.
Small town? Big town?
Outside of a bigger town, roughly pretty comparable to Sioux Falls, actually.
And you came here for the weather?
Well, no, actually, I'm getting shocked looks from the control
exactly.
room. No, and all my friends said, you know, it gets cold there, right? I'm like, right. Well, yes, but I came for the education opportunities at USD, a particular program, and decided I wanted to stay. I knew I fit with the data. I knew where I wanted to live first, and I got very fortunate that a job opened up.
And it was here. So what appeals to, you know, as you talk to these different people in Brookings and the other work you've done through South Dakota Public Broadcasting, you know, what is appealing about the community? And would a social media campaign make a dent in sort of telling people this is a good place to live? Is that sort of, do those things fit together from a generational standpoint?
Certainly, and social media makes a lot of sense because of the way that we are getting information these days, and this isn't limited to millennials, you know, 30 to 45 and above as well. Most of us are getting our information online for these situations, and most of us are getting that off of our smartphones. So Nate Welch talked about, you know, digital media websites. Also, Stacey Asap with Brookings talking about, you know, social media campaigns, maybe directing to a website that shows job opportunities. And interestingly enough, Nate Welch talked about a study showing that for focus groups with people who I believe didn't live in South Dakota, but at least knew where South Dakota was. And
right.
when they looked at those marketing efforts, that oftentimes tend to focus on low tax burdens and things like that for reasons why you should live here.
Mm-hmm.
Their reactions were, interestingly enough, somewhat negative because they see that and wonder, well, what's funding the infrastructure? What's my quality of life going to look like if
right.
I move to this place? So Nate Welch talked about things being kind of twofold. You try to build up quality of life through entertainment and things like that, but also recruiting businesses so that
right.
when people are here, they have something to do.
So young people, millennials especially, are making a connection. Just I'm gonna make sure I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a connection between something that has a low tax base and the impact that that could be. And they might say, well, because of that, there might not be some of the things that I expect there to be, say, if I move to Minnesota.
Exactly.
Or Minneapolis or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep.
I think
are.
It's perfectly natural when we have this conversation to think that kids who graduate from high school and college will want to go somewhere else, wherever they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if in New York City or in Los Angeles or in Minneapolis, if there is a of course, we're talking rural brain drain now,
right.
not necessarily urban, but if there's a push to get the heck out and go somewhere else and see the world.
It's interesting you bring that up. Nate Welch talked about a study from the University of Minnesota talking about the population density obviously growing on the East and West Coast, as you might imagine. But as much as there might be a brain drain in recent college graduates leaving those rural communities, rural population growth is actually densest in those rural communities with that 30 to 45-year-old age group.
Right.
I don't know if that answers your question.
Exactly,
or not.
Yeah. We kind of need Hugh Weber to call in right now.
Yeah.
Because so, this is the work, you know, that there are people who are doing this work throughout rural South Dakota and other places
mm-hmm.
to really figure out for some of those small towns, you know, how do we tell the story of our town and get new people to come in and also, you know, have the kids who graduated from here come back. So
right.
at 18, well, 17, I joined the Marines
mm-hmm.
and went just about as far away from South Dakota as I possibly could. And there was nothing against South Dakota. I wasn't
right.
thinking about bad weather, or I just wanted to do something different and go see something.
And part of the trick, to an extent, particularly with college graduates, is those job opportunities. Nate Welch talked about, you know, many students who come to school in Vermilion like Vermilion, but
right.
they might have a history degree or a very particular degree or qualification that there just isn't really that opportunity here, so they have to go. So when he talks about recruiting businesses, and it jumps right back to the USD students and the documentary that inspired them, he tells businesses, if you build it, they will come. If you bring your business here, there will be people that will fill those positions.
So what would it take for you to go home to the place where you graduated from high school? Now
mm-hmm.
that you've, you know, because you graduated from USD,
mm-hmm.
so in some ways you are home now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that would trigger a memory and say, this is where I want to be, and you would start looking for work somewhere else? Say no, because I want you to stay here at South Dakota Public Broadcasting forever, but I'm just curious from your perspective.
Well, you'll get your wish. I am not especially interested
Good.
In going back to
Excellent.
Illinois. But then again, I chose South Dakota very specifically because I appreciate that small town life to an extent, and I appreciate
right.
the issues that I get to talk about here.
Right. And what has living in Vermilion been like for you?
It was an adjustment, to be sure.
Right.
my friends back home still are horrified that I live about an hour away from the nearest shopping mall, and they don't know how I do it. But it was an adjustment, but now that it's happened, I can appreciate the slower pace and that sense of community that comes maybe a little bit easier than in some of those, and certainly compared to back home.
So fellow students, because you're also graduating with a lot of, USD. So I was older. I graduated from Augustana, and I was, in my late 20s when I graduated. I don't have a ton of college friends. I have a few. But as a non-traditional student, I did things a little differently. You're right there with your peers. What happened to a lot of them?
It's a pretty even split, to be honest, and it's a little trickier in the journalism programs. You kind of go where you can find work. A pretty even split. The vast majority of my fellow students are up in Sioux Falls at Kello Land. So,
sure.
Yep, it really depends on the program you're in.
Yeah. We want to hear from you. Send us an email at inthemoment@sdpb.org or send a text 956-SDPB and tell us your story about staying here in South Dakota I have a high school student. She's a junior this year, getting ready, looking at stuff from South Dakota, but she wants to go somewhere else as well.
Right, and it's tricky. The Department of Education, and I know of some other programs throughout the state, Yankton was mentioned to me at one point, there's a lot of focus now. We hear so much about workforce development in high school moving into college and dual credit programs, making those connections with South Dakota colleges with the idea of being, hoping to keep these students in South Dakota for higher education.
Right. Now, dual credit's interesting because I talked to, I maybe shouldn't give him up, but I talked to somebody at my daughter's school about whether she should be doing those dual credits. And he said, if you're planning on going to school outside the state, don't bother, because many of them are not taking them because the business model of the University of Minnesota or, a highly selective university somewhere is such that they, they want you to register for class and take their freshman level classes too. So
right.
It definitely is a push to keep kids right here in the state.
Certainly.
Interesting stuff. Jackie Henry, we appreciate you coming on early and taking your time with us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much, Lori.